Well, good morning and welcome. It's good to see everyone here today, and welcome to those watching via the live stream. Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. Do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. Look, I am about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. As we enter a new year, don't focus on your failures. Learn from your mistakes and move forward. God is giving us encouragement from these verses that He is doing a new work in us and through us, and He is making a way for us. Search and seek how God is doing that new work. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for how you have been with us in the past. And we look forward to what you are going to do in the new year. We see how you have provided for us and carried us through difficult times, and you have been faithful in the large and small things. We hold on to the promises that you made in your word. We know you are faithful and true. Yet we are looking forward to this new year, how you will work in us and through us, and you'll bring your kingdom to completion. Help us to learn from our past while focusing on what you will do in the future. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to stand this morning as we worship in song.
Born is the King of Israel.
ushers to come forward this morning as we take this morning's offering. There's also the My Coins count for the kids.
Good morning. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you. You've gotten us through another year with all the joys, the sorrows, and all the blessings in between. We just thank you and praise you that you see us, you know us, and you love us. And we love you and thank you. Father, we just ask for your presence here as we continue to worship, glorify your name, thanking you so much for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the blessings. We offer back a portion for the work of the church and the work of our local CrossNet ministries. And please bless all those affected. And we just thank you and praise you again. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.
That's in the blood. awesome are your ways. How majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, oh Lord, may we see your kingdom come. Father, may your will be done in all the earth. All the earth.
Yes, Lord, we just thank you for your character, Lord, and how it does strike fear into us when we see you and your power and your awesomeness and your glory, and how man cannot stand before you. And it's just sometimes something that we can't even comprehend. But we thank you for who you are and the other characteristics, too, of being loving and desiring righteousness. So you ever attempt to purify us, and by sending your Son to shed his blood, you have achieved that and created a way for us to be one with you. And I just pray that every day in our lives, as we see the things that you created and the people, more importantly, that you created to have a relationship with you, that we would just see your awesomeness, and that we would give you glory and honor for all the things that you do, the things that you orchestrate, plan, and set right, so that your will is done, and that we can enjoy eternity with you and your awesomeness by sending a Savior. Just pray that you would open our hearts, open our ears, that we could hear what you're going to share with us this morning, and that Tony could feel your hand as you guide him in the words to say, and how to direct us, give us guidance in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
It's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children forward. Well, good morning, how are you guys doing this morning? Did you have a good Christmas? Well, we are about to start a new year. Did you know that you guys are going to get a year older? And hopefully a year wiser? That's my hope anyway. When we start a new year, a lot of us like to set goals for the coming year. Things that I want to accomplish. Some of those are fun and some of those are serious. Like, I want to catch a bigger fish than I caught last year. That's a fun goal and a serious one at the same time. Maybe I need to get some more exercise, maybe eat a little healthier. A good goal would be taking time each day to listen to God. Maybe you want to learn to ride a bike this year. Maybe you want to be a better reader. Or maybe you want to get straight A's in school. Those are good goals to have and something that we should strive for. Can you guys think of something fun that you did this past year? Can you name something fun that you did? Yes.
My dad got me a new video game.
Oh, you got a new video game. That is good. Oh, yeah? Well, that's good.
Our friends Aaron and Cole came to our house.
Your friends came over to your house. That's always fun, playing with your friends.
I went to my aunt's house.
You went to your aunt's house. Those are all fun things. So what do you want to do in this new year? Is there some fun things that you'd like to do? Do you want to go on vacation or maybe visit family? You want to go back to school? Are you guys excited about school starting again? Oh, no, that's not a good look I'm receiving mentioning that school word. So as we enter in a new year, we remember what we did in the past year, and we look ahead. Listen to Colossians 3, 9, and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of your Creator. See, when we have Jesus in our hearts, we take off the old things or the things that God says that are not good for us. Some of those are sins, bad habits, or maybe a bad attitude that we could have. And then we put on the things that God says is good for us, like a good attitude. We make good habits and good choices, and we stop sinning. So in this new year, put on the new and take off the old, just like we're about to change our calendar to 2024. We're still in 2023 yet, but we're about to change our calendar. We're going to put on a new calendar with a new year. So remember to take off the old and put on the new. I'd like to pray for you, and then you may have a snack and head back to your seats. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this year. Thank you for all the fun that these children have had. I pray that you watch over them in the new year. Bless them and draw them to you. I pray that they would know you as their Lord and Savior. Help them to take off the old and put on the new. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a snack and then head back to your seats. It's right there. Lauren forward to share about an opportunity you have this afternoon.
Good morning. We won't have snacks this afternoon, but hopefully you're as excited about the kids getting snacks to come to our Human Trafficking 101 presentation this afternoon. Many of you know that I work with an organization called FREE, which stands for Freedom and Restoration for Everyone Enslaved. We're a nonprofit in Berks County, and we exist to provide restorative care to victims and survivors of human trafficking and to see the cycle of human trafficking broken through prayer and community awareness. So this afternoon, I'll be doing a Human Trafficking 101 presentation from 2 to 3 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. And so I just wanted to take a few minutes to encourage you to come and learn more about human trafficking, responding to it, recognizing it, and learning how you can take action. So just a few reasons why you should come this afternoon. I'm sure there are many more. You might be thinking, I don't need to go because human trafficking doesn't affect me. And so I just want to let you know that human trafficking affects every single one of us. Human trafficking has been reported in all 50 states. It's happening here in Lancaster County, not just overseas. It's the fastest growing criminal industry in the world and the second largest criminal industry in the world, next to the drug trade. It's happening in our schools, in our workplaces, and in our churches. And it can be hard to recognize when we don't understand what it is exactly. There are people among us that are experiencing this modern day slavery, and we don't know because the world paints this picture of human trafficking looking one way, and really it looks different than that. So you might think of human trafficking being kidnapping and people are shipped overseas, but we know that the majority of victims of human trafficking know their trafficker. It could be a family member, a friend, somebody who has some kind of trust built up with them already. So when there are 30 or 40 million victims of human trafficking worldwide, it affects every single one of us. You might think there's nothing I could do to make an impact on such a huge problem like that. And to that, I say there's actually a lot that you can do, no matter your age, your position. There's something for you to do, whether it's joining our prayer team at FREE or praying without being on a prayer team. That's the most important thing that you can do, is to pray for the end of human trafficking and for those that are on the front lines, but also to be willing to be the answer to your prayers. So pray, but also how can I get involved in the fight against this? And I'll share more specific ways that you can get involved when you come this afternoon at 2 o'clock. And maybe you're thinking, I can't learn about this because it'll be way too hard to listen to. To that, I say you're exactly the kind of people that we need fighting this injustice. We need your compassion and empathy to walk alongside victims and survivors so that they can see that by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, there's hope for those who have been trapped in this cycle of exploitation and slavery, and there's hope for complete freedom and restoration by the blood of Jesus Christ. So please, this afternoon, I would love for you to come out. No matter what the reasons are for you not to come, I'm sure there are plenty. There's always a handful of reasons for me not to go and do an education event or not to go and do this with free. The enemy will always give you reasons not to, whether you're feeling sick or you have this or you have New Year's plans or, you know, you don't want to make it a busy day. I understand that. But I encourage you to think and pray about whether it will be worth it, because I believe it will for every one of us. So thank you, and thank you for your support. I want to close by reading from Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, verses 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. It might be a difficult subject and something that's hard to hear, but if we bury our heads in the sand, we're helping the enemy. So I'd encourage you to come out and spend an hour and hear what Lauren has to say. I went to Free's gala, and it was difficult to hear. And it broke my heart to hear what the presenter had to share, but it was worthwhile going and learning what Free was about, and that this problem is right next door to us. It's not half a world away. So this morning we'll be ending our Advent set of messages. Next week we're going to be starting a series on our spiritual gifts. We're going to have an introduction message, and then we will be covering three different gifts a Sunday. Yes, that's cramming them in, and we're only going to be scratching the surface, but it's good to talk about the spiritual gifts that we have from God and how we can use them. So our title for today's message is, How Will We Know? Who Knows? So we're going to look at how every one of us is a witness to the birth of Jesus. Sure what I tapped on there, but my screen went a little crazy, so now we have it fixed. So we're going to talk about how each one of us is a witness to the birth of Jesus. How does this change us, or should it change our lives? Luke 2, 21 to 40, these verses come after the birth of Jesus. He was taken to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord and to give the appropriate sacrifice required under Jewish law. So Luke 2, 21 to 40. I invite you to turn with me to that. That's Luke 2, 21 to 40. When the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were finished, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace, as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. When Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Pheniel of the tribe of Asher. She was well along years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple, serving God day and night with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began to thank God and to speak about him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had completed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The boy grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was on him. Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, are being faithful to what is required of them under the law. They brought Jesus to the temple, and when the 7 days of purification was over, after giving birth to a male child, they brought him to the temple. Mary and Joseph received strength and encouragement from the testimony they heard of Simeon and Anna. God provided for their physical needs. They had these expensive gifts given to them by the wise man that came: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But God also provided for them emotionally and spiritually through the testimonies of Simeon and Anna. I think every new parent needs help and encouragement as they take on this giant responsibility of taking care of a child. I remember putting the kid in the car seat for the first time and driving home from the hospital like, "Oh no, what am I doing? They gave me this child. How am I supposed to take care of it?" But could you imagine having these circumstances of having this miraculous birth? I think there would be a giant weight on your shoulders, because there's this giant responsibility for you to take care of the Messiah. Simeon was a faithful man who followed God with all of his heart. Scripture tells us that he was devout. We use that term to say a person is deeply committed and is not wavering in their belief or their faith. Simeon was looking forward to the day when the Messiah would come and bring fulfillment to God's word and bring freedom to the Jewish people. The Holy Spirit was on him and revealed to Simeon that he would see the Messiah before he died. God would send the Savior for his people in his lifetime. He was going to see the Messiah with his very own eyes. Can you just imagine what he was feeling at that moment? That he would get to see the fulfillment of God's promises right there before his very own eyes. The redemption of the Israelites would take place. Just how powerful of a moment would that be to have experienced that? The Holy Spirit leads him into the temple where Jesus was brought in by Mary and Joseph. And Simeon takes Jesus in his arms. He's holding the Messiah. He's experiencing God's fulfillment of a promise, not just to him to hold that child, but also a promise that God gave to the entire world. God came down from heaven in the form of this baby, and it's right there in his arms. Simeon goes on to say that since I have seen the Messiah, I'm ready to be with you, Lord, whenever you call me home. He also tells us that this child is not a light only for the nation of Israel, but is a light to the Gentiles, the entire world. God has done so much more than what everybody thought he would do. He was sending freedom, not just for the Israelites, but for the entire world, for Jew and Gentile alike. Yet we know that God is doing even more than what was humanly thought. People were thinking that he was going to give them freedom from Roman rule and rule as a king would. But God did so much more. He brought a spiritual freedom that through Jesus' birth, his death on the cross, and his resurrection, he paid for our sins that we could have eternity with Christ. It gives us a hope for the future. And if that encouragement that Simeon gave was not enough, Anna then enters the room and gives testimony to what God is doing through Jesus as well, giving Mary and Joseph encouragement to carry on, that they can do it. God is pouring out a love and a kindness on Mary and Joseph through this. And we can see God at work. He cares about those little things in our lives. He knows what we need when we need it. That hope and encouragement was given to four people in this account. Simeon and Anna and Mary and Joseph, each one received encouragement of God is in control and he is handling the situation and that his plans would come and be fulfilled. Simeon and Anna were faithful, serving God day and night in the temple. They were waiting for God to move in their lives. They didn't just sit there and wait, doing nothing. They were active. They were actively working for God's kingdom. Simeon was serving as priest in the temple, and Anna was there spending day and night in prayer and fasting. And that is what we as Christ followers are supposed to be doing. We might be in that time of waiting for Christ to return, yes, but in that waiting of our daily lives, God, what do you want me to do next? And just as Simeon and Anna were waiting for the Messiah to come the first time, we're waiting for Christ to come again. And we're waiting for that time we will get to spend eternity with the Lord because we're faithfully following him. So what are we doing while we're in that waiting time? Are we working for the Lord? Are we focusing on his kingdom? Or are we focusing on our earthly plans? I talked about in our children's message of setting goals for the new year, which is good. It's good for us to set goals and look forward to our future. But are we focusing on God's kingdom and his plans or our own? Galatians 4:4-7 tells us this. When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. We are heirs of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit in us to lead us and guide us, just like Simeon and Anna did. When Jesus was brought into the temple, they had this short-term guidance. But we have the Holy Spirit in us continually, 24/7, 365 days a year. The Holy Spirit is in us to lead us and guide us. Are we seeking out the Holy Spirit's guidance? Are we looking to God and asking what He wants us to do? We make goals for a new year, things we'd like to accomplish, like losing weight and exercising and reading the Bible in a year, taking a trip, and maybe getting out of debt. Those are good things. Those are things we should set goals for. But are we taking that time to sit quietly and seek out what God wants for us, what He wants our goals to be for this year? Are we seeking God as we're entering a new year? Are we willing to give something up? Are we willing to take our focus off of what we want to accomplish and put our focus on what God wants to accomplish in us and through us? So I want to encourage you to take some time, even if it's after the new year. Take some time. Ask God what He wants for you in this new year. Ask Him what you should set your goals for this year. Ask Him what you need to be doing different, things that you need to change in your life. Take that time. Seek God's will. And as we wait for Christ to return, what is He asking us to do? How does He want us to serve Him as we wait for that fulfillment of God's word? What active way is God asking us to serve? You might be thinking, there isn't much that I can do. If you do nothing else, do this. Read God's word. Spend time in the Bible and spend time in prayer. Those two things have a benefit far beyond this earthly world. Lauren had mentioned about us thinking that we can't do much. But if we spend time in prayer, earnestly asking God to bring about a change in our lives and to end this modern day slavery, God hears us and He will work everything for His good. Through reading Scripture and spending time in prayer, ask God what the next step is for you. Ask Him to show you what you can do next, where He wants you to go. God's Word is living and active. By putting this into our hearts and our minds, God will show us what He has for us. He is always teaching us, no matter what we go through. And prayer is one of those activities where we're asking God's will to be done. That we're asking God to bring His will to completion. And as you enter into Scripture reading and prayer this year, be deliberate. Seek out God's will. I know for myself, a lot of times I end up praying for things that are going on in my life, and just that little bit of time I spend asking for God to do His will, I know I need to change my focus to put God's will first and ask Him to show me what His will is and what I can be learning through the situations that I face. Look at what Simeon and Anna did. They served in the temple. They spent time in prayer, praising God daily. And God used them in an amazing way. And He can use you too. He can use us in amazing ways if we give Him the opportunity, if we give Him the freedom in our lives to work and do His will. Seek God. And when He shows you what He is doing, get on board and run with it. Don't hesitate. Go and do. And then do what Simeon and Anna did. They praised God. They worshiped God for what He was doing, for His faithfulness, how He was using them. Don't forget to turn back and thank God for what he is doing. Take this to heart and let this account in the Bible change our attitudes and our hearts. God has a plan for each one of us. Ask him to reveal what that is on a daily basis. Sure, he has a larger plan for us, but are we seeking his will and his plan for us each day? Ask God to reveal it. He is faithful. He will do that. But we need to be faithful as well and do what he asks us to do. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are waiting for your fulfillment of your word. Help us to be dedicated to you in all that we do. Help us to be active in your word and in prayer as we seek your will for our lives. Show us where and how you want us to work for your kingdom daily. Give us a glimpse of your will for our lives. Be with us in this coming year and help us to live boldly for you. Give us strength to stand for you and be unwavering in our faith. Give us the strength to take that step when you call us to go and do. Help us to be faithful because we know you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song. Stand to receive this parting blessing. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. God bless you, and have a happy new year. You're dismissed.